Behold, the fields are white, it's harvest time.
With that familiar theme song, we're reminded it's time once again for the Harvest Time Gospel Broadcast. This is a daily broadcast with special emphasis on missions and world evangelization under the direction of Dr. Stenny Ballou of Resaca, Georgia. And now, here is Brother Ballou and today's broadcast.
Thank you and greetings, radio friends. What a joy and privilege it is to come to your place of listening and share together with you another Harvest Time broadcast. I praise the Lord for this wonderful privilege that our Lord allows us, together by the radio, to open God's precious Word and to study the Word of God together. I trust that if it's at all possible, you'll take the time out, get your Bible, and follow along with us as we open the Word of God today. We're turning in our Bible to the book of 2 Chronicles, chapter number 7, verse number 14. And we're looking at the thought, God's recipe for revival. Notice, if you will, the Bible said, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, God said, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sins and will heal their land. In this verse of scripture, we're looking at these three thoughts. First of all, we see the people of revival. God said, if my people, which are called by my name. Then number two, we see the plan of revival. God said, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways. Then thirdly, we see the promise of revival. God said, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sins and will heal their land. Thus far in our study, we have looked at the people of revival, God's people that are called by God's name. I pointed out to you that God's people are a purchased people. We do not belong to ourselves. We are the purchased, prized possession of the Lord Jesus Christ. Then number two, I pointed out that God's people are a purged people. The Bible said unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins. That's Revelation chapter 1, verse number 5. And then thirdly, we saw that God's people are a peculiar people. The Bible said in the book of Titus, chapter number 2, in verse number 14, who gave himself for us, that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. But then we move from looking at the people of revival to looking at the plan of revival. And I said to you, God said, if my people, which are called by my name, will do four things, then God said, I will do three things. Notice, if you will, God said, if my people, which are called by my name, shall, number one, humble themselves, number two, and pray, number three, and seek my face, then number four, and turn from their wicked ways. And I do want to say again to you that these are in divine order. We cannot start with number three or number four. We must start with number one. We must first humble ourselves. And then as we humble ourselves, we must pray. And as we pray, we must seek God's face. And as we humble ourselves and pray and seek God's face, we must also turn from our wicked ways. We've looked thus far at the thought of God's people humbling themselves. Again, I want to say to you that humility is not a position of the body. It's a condition of the mind. God is not looking at outward appearance when it comes to determining whether people are humble or not. Humility is when you see yourself as God sees you, and you see the Lord Jesus Christ as God sees him. When he becomes everything and we become nothing, then that is humility. But again, I want to make this statement. If you think you're humble, you're not. Matter of fact, if you think upon your own self, you're not an humble person. Humility is not something you boast about. Humility is not something that is determined by your dress, by your talk, or by your walk. Even though I submit to you that if a person is humble, they will dress right, they will talk right, and they will walk right. But again, may I emphasize, humility is simply the opposite of pride. It's you coming down off of your high horse and recognizing you're a nobody going nowhere but to hell apart from the mercies of God. And you realize how hopeless and helpless you are. And then you realize how marvelous and magnificent the Lord is. And friend, the higher you lift him up, the lower you become yourself. The more you see of his majesty, the more you see of your depravity. And friend, when we lift him up, we automatically put down ourselves. And that is a state of humility. Putting down yourself without lifting him up is not humility. Oh, God help us to understand these truths. But I want to move on in our study today and look at the second part of God's plan for revival. Not only does God say, if my people which are called by my name shall humble themselves, but secondly, God adds two words. The two words are and pray. I want to say to you that revivals have always been started when God's people bathe themselves in much praying. God gives us prayer as the opportunity of us beseeching God for his intervention in the affairs of this life by revival. Notice, if you will, please, prayer is not just saying words. Prayer is you coming into the presence of God. Prayer is you communing with a person of God. And prayer is you claiming the promises of God. Again, let me say to you, praying is not just saying words, but praying is a heart that is in communion with God through the Holy Spirit and the Holy Scriptures. When I thought about this area of prayer, then I wrote down this little saying that I've written in one of my books. Here it is. You cannot hang around the throne of God long without the God of the throne start hanging around you. So people often say to me, Brother Blue, how much does it accomplish on the other end, the time that you spend at the throne of grace and prayer? And my answer to them is this. I do not know what all it accomplishes on the other end, but it ties me to the throne of grace for a period of time every day. And friend, listen, again I emphasize, if you hang around the throne of God long, the God of the throne will start hanging around you. One of my favorite songs, and I have a lot of them, I love all hymns, and I love any song that glorifies the Lord Jesus Christ. Of course, I have my favorite styles, and I love the old-fashioned singing. I don't like the contemporary styles of our day. But one of my favorite hymns is the old hymn of the church, What a Friend we have in Jesus. Notice the words. What a friend we have in Jesus. All our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. Oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pain we bear. All because we do not carry everything to God in prayer. Those words ring in my heart when I think about the privilege that I, a mortal man, have the opportunity of entering into the presence of God. In fact, I have an invitation from God to come boldly to the throne of grace, that I might obtain mercy and find grace to help in the time of need. I have a standing invitation from the God of glory to cast all of my care upon him, for he careth for me. And friend, I have a standing invitation from God Almighty in Philippians chapter 4, verse number 6, to let my request be made known unto God. And so, friend, I want to tell you, we often neglect the privilege to pray, and we forfeit a lot of peace and a lot of blessings of God upon our lives because we do not carry everything to God in prayer. There is not anything in your life that you cannot pray about. There's nothing too small. There's nothing too large. There's nothing too personal. There's nothing too private. There's nothing too bad. And there's nothing too good for you to talk to God about your needs in prayer. Or if God's people, which are called by God's name, would humble themselves and begin to pray for revival, for our nation, for our churches, to turn back to God. I say to you that prayer moves the hand of God that can move kings and leaders and people in the society that you and I live in. If you want to be involved in a great work of God, even in your lifetime and in your life, in the privacy of your own home or in your public life, then you can start by, first of all, beginning a ministry of prayer. Find you a place that can be your prayer place. Work in your schedule a period that can be your time of prayer. And it does not have to be the exact moment every day. But friend, be persistent, coming to the throne of God on a regular basis and praying to God that God will send revival and God will hear from heaven and God will heal our land. We'll continue tomorrow, the Lord willing. Father, take the word, use it to your glory. I pray in Jesus' name, amen and amen.
Behold, the fields are white, it's harvest time.
Well, I trust the broadcast was a blessing to you today. This is Brother Blue speaking. Let me remind you that Harvest Time is a listener-supported radio ministry. God has been so gracious to allow us to preach on many stations across the country and then around the world several times a day by internet, as well as shortwave radio. And the only way we can pay the bills and continue to broadcast is that you, the listener, share with us in the financial burden of the radio ministry. Simply address that letter to Harvest Time, 179 Promise Land Drive, Resaca, Georgia, 30735. That's Harvest Time, 179 Promise Land Drive, Resaca, Georgia, 30735. And be sure to join us each weekday, Monday through Friday, at this same time. God bless you until the next broadcast.
Oh,